I was going to try to do something creative for this intro, but I'm just gonna, I couldn't. Generally, in the first 3 seconds, you know if you've got a good, fun intro or not, and didn't have it in the first 3 seconds. So it is take 238. We've got a doubleheader, and we're doing something like I don't think we've ever talked about before, which is kind of insane that we've reviewed quite a few TV shows on here, but we've never talked about our top 10 favorite TV shows. So we're going to do a countdown of those. But before we do that, we're going to go over fave trailer and movie news, fave things we watched, a little Instagram mailbag. We're going to also do a little revisit to Across the Spider-Verse. It's been a week. It's had some time to marinate. But not going to be a full review because we just did that full review on Take 237. We've got a doubleheader for y'all. Transformers Rise of the Beasts review. And then Succession. We've both finished it. It's been over for a couple of weeks now. Gave y'all some time to finish. We are stoked. And then we're going to round it off with our top 10 favorite TV shows of all time. It is your boy, Sweet Keeks. Who do we got? Let us know.
We got a Beast and TC here. That is my gamer tag. Give me an ad. I'm never on, but I'll tell you what.
You're on more than I am.
Halo 3. That is the GOAT video. If we're going to talk about top 5, top 10 video games ever, Halo 3 is both of our number ones.
Yeah, right? We did kind of top do three. That for... When did we do
we
video
did like
games?
A video game adaptation, like movie, yeah. After Sonic in like 2020.
I thought we did a favorite video games as well, but maybe we didn't.
Something like that.
Anyways.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Doing well. Just full swing of summer. It's here. And... movies rock. They sure do. So, yeah, nothing really, nothing too new to report on my end. But how was your 48-hour film project?
So, 48-hour film festival. It is an international thing, but every city. So, how it works is you get 48 hours with a character, a prop, and a line you have to say to be able to plan, pre-production, produce, and post-produce a film. To be able to turn it in by 7:30 p.m. today. I was producer on it, helped with the story beats as well, and was just on set all day Saturday. We shot in a really cool antique shop. Shouts out Scott over at Euro Treasure Antiques, right off of 6th South in Salt Lake. Just a wild place, an absolutely wild antique store. I got a cool chair there. I really liked the chair, so I bought a chair. And he let us film there. It looked great. I mean, the movie already, like, cinematography wise looks amazing. We have an incredible shoot. Shouts out Kato Wong, who is on it. He's our cinematographer. Shouts out Jack Ollander, Seth Orris, Isaac Jaramillo, Jake Hamlin, who wrote it, the Boren brothers, Tyler and Jordan Boren, all these people that helped with the film, just really made it come to life. Berkeley, Devin, our lead, Nate, I don't remember what his last name is, our other lead, Bree, just really, shouts out Bennett, who is a kind of a bit player in the role, was there on set. Shouts out everyone who was on set. It was a great job. When it's out, so this Thursday, you can buy tickets to come watch the films. Our film will premiere at 6 o'clock p.m. this Thursday. Go to the 48-hour film festival website and you can get tickets for that. So basically, if you win your cities, you then go to the L.A. Film Festival for the United States, and the winner of the L.A. Film Festival, I don't remember what it specifically is called, but the winner from the shorts there goes on to be the short film, one of the short film selections at Cannes Film Festival. So we actually are feeling really good about it. We did it last year. We felt good, but this year we feel even better about the film that we've done. So yeah, just excited.
Last year's was the one where in the house, right?
Yep. Last year was like a heist fish out of water.
That was cool. Do you have like a link for the suites to go watch that one from last year's?
I bet it's on Jack's Instagram or YouTube. I could find it. Yeah, I bet I can.
And then
find
how long's the duration for this one?
They have to be 4 to 7 minutes. So I think this one's going to be about six and a half.
So it has to be 4 to 7 minutes, like on the dot.
And honestly, like, you know, for something that's 7 minutes long, it took us probably 10, 11 hours yesterday to shoot it.
Wow.
So this isn't just like, you know, when you were a kid and you'd make films, you'd use a handheld camera, you'd get two shots, you didn't use a tripod, and you just move the camera around, you know, you'd be done in 2-3 hours. But when you're really trying to make a good film, you need different shots. Like, what, you know, if you're thinking of just making a short, what do you assume that needs to go into it, like on filming, like the day of production?
I would assume like props, your set design, like lighting, all that stuff.
And that's exactly what it is. Lighting probably takes the longest. Once it comes to the hard thing about a lot of these 48 hours is your actors don't get time to like plan it with you and read the role. So they're literally having to memorize as you're shooting, when generally they'll have like, you know, as long as a month or up to like a couple days before you shoot. So this one was, you know, not a lot of time to prepare, but Nate did a great job. So did Bree. And I'm just super stoked for it to be done.
With the 48 hours, you start at like 6 p.m. on a Thursday.
7 p.m., they give you your prompt. And you have until 7 p.m. on, you know, what today would be Sunday. But the as we're recording, it's Sunday. But so it came out you're supposed to be done by Sunday at 7 p.m. So those four full 48 hours. So we stayed up Friday till about 4 a.m. writing it and getting everything like squared away. And then we immediately started like getting ready and getting set up at 9 a.m. on Saturday to shoot it.
Wow. Did you just sleep over there last night on Friday night?
No, I drove home, but honestly, I mean, I probably could have. I wanted to just drive home and hang it and be with Becky. And she was fast asleep.
And you pulled up to the Halo night on Friday. That was a packed night for you. Good for you.
It was a good night. Yeah. It was really fun to just like, you know, to plan, to like get the prompt, to plan. We went to JCW's to plan, which shouts out JCW. That's an S tier, like
elite fast food.
It's like, I wouldn't even call, is it fast casual?
Fast casual.
I'd borderline call it fast casual. Yeah, it's like a nice kind of hometown burger place here in Utah, and absolutely had a great time. So we'll see when it's done. I'm sure we'll be able to post it somewhere, and we'll upload it or send a link so people can watch it.
Dude, that's exciting.
Yep.
What's it called? What's the title?
It's called Sheet Talk.
Sheet Talk.
Yep. Shouts out Isaac, who's helped on set. They thought of the title. Good title too. I don't want to spoil the plot. It's a good plot though. It's an interesting plot. So when it comes out, I'll talk more about it.
But it goes with the title card. It's like that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when Leo's snapping at the screen like, oh,
yep.
There's the title. There's the title of the movie and he said it.
Just like,
love it.
Yeah. So yeah, we're excited for that. But other than that, you know, first week of summer break. TC, I want to hear what your thoughts are on this. If you think that winter is better than summer, you're out of your dang mind. You are out of your mind, and you probably have never, like, in no way is winter.
Here is my reasoning for why I'm sure people would say winter is better than summer. If you're a skier, if you're a snowboarder, and you like snow sports, and like that is your livelihood, yes, I can see that. But like I was on a walk the other day with Kennedy, just with Honey, and we were just like, man, summer is so much better because you can go outside, you can walk. I mean, sure, it's hot, but you got to find that peak. It's just the sun's out. You can go outside and do things. It's just, it's elite. I've been saying elite a lot this take because it is.
Yeah, we've got a lot of, well, one majorly elite thing we'll talk about today, kind of both in quality of the show and like subject matter of the show. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. Just winter, nah, kick rocks. If we have to rank seasons though, like I wouldn't even put like summer, it goes fall, spring, summer, winter. Like it's not even like summer's the best season, but certainly better than winter.
Yeah. No, it'd go for me to go fall, summer, spring, winter.
Okay. Okay.
But for sports, it's winter all day long.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah. That fall, winter, so good. But for movies, summer. Summer rocks.
Yeah, it's kind of like
summer, fall. Oof.
Because you can't pick winter, because winter you go into January and February and there's nothing. You're right. Summer. Yeah, summer's the best time. So I wanted to talk very quickly about a trailer that I just saw. And it's not for a movie. It's for a video game called Star Wars Outlaws. It is the first open world Star Wars video game.
No way.
Sitting in church. I see the trailer because, you know, let's be honest. I'm not always locked in. Try to, but not always locked in. Had Instagram. Yep, had Instagram up, the Star Wars page refreshed, and a nice little bounty hunter. I didn't have the sound on, so I'm just watching the trailer with no sound. Like that new Jedi, like what is it? Jedi something game. There's two of these Jedi games that have come out. I have a Switch. You can't play them on the Switch, but man, like I really kind of want to get a PlayStation so I can like play these Star Wars video games on them.
Yeah. Oh. I've heard good things about the Star Wars game, especially with like Jedi Fallen Order or something like that.
That's and then Jedi Survivor, I think, is the new one.
Yeah, that's the sequel. Yeah, I've heard good things about it. It's just, man, for me to play like an open world game, I gotta like set aside time because I can get into them. Like Red Dead Redemption 2 was the last game I played. I loved like Shadow of Mordor,
Breath of the Wild, Zelda. I'm sure a lot of you Tears of the Kingdom heads are chiming in about Tears of the Kingdom.
Like, I would love just to take like a weekend and just ball out on Spider-Man on PlayStation. That game is amazing. So,
and with Spider-Man 2 coming out this year, oh my gosh, it really is. Like, never been a video game guy, but oh jeez,
get it.
Oh my gosh,
bless you.
Allergies going crazy. But like, yeah, PlayStation 5 is real tempting with all these like single player games for it.
Yeah. I don't really have any like movie news or trailers. I feel like I've seen like every trailer.
True.
As of right now, I can't really think of like any new trailers that have like really caught my eye. But I do want to talk about Across the Spider-Verse real quick.
Awesome. Let's do it.
So let's go through our Instagram here. We did not mention this last take, but I have some opinions that I don't agree with. We'll get to it real quick.
Yeah.
We didn't share these, right? Last take. The Spider-Man.
No, we didn't. We asked these and then sometimes we just forget to share them.
Okay.
To be honest.
So I'll start. So this was from last week's, like your grade and thoughts about Across the Spider-Verse. So Kelly R. and Farmer said, I am my old 28/mom of 2. Toward the end, I had a headache. Storyline A+. Completely dead of baby Spider-Man beanie/mask. And then Tatan Ralph said A+, sweet, somehow even more stylistic than Into the Spider-Verse. Absolutely. Lace Him Up Basketball said A+. I swear I saw LeBaron as a Spider-Man during scenes at the HQ. if I could, I would have totally been a stand-in. Riker Atherley, A-. It was peak. I don't know what else to say. ZL Cooper said I couldn't believe it was better than Into the Spider-Verse. Happy Hippie, one of our all-time favorite honorary guests of the pod, Becky.
Number one.
She says, no adequate words for how good this movie is. Ellie_124. They say the color and lighting and music was everything. I agree. I have been bumping the soundtrack. I don't know about you, Keeks.
Good, great soundtrack.
Self-Love and Am I Dreaming and Hummingbird. Three
Metro Boomin
songs. Oh. Those three songs.
Boomin wants some more.
Yeah. Those three songs in particular that I mentioned are like cream of the crop. Jacob Bernard _2007 says, I can't form words of how much I love this movie. It's amazing from start to finish. 10 out of 10. Carson Shipman once said, upset how it ended, but come March 2024, it will all be good.
I'm sorry to be that guy, but it is not coming out in March 2024.
No, it's not. Yeah. Nick N. Grain said, put me in a box and ship me to Mumbatan. So, resounding positive reviews from the suites, and then also to add to this, Across the Spider-Verse is now the number one rated film on Letterboxd. And we said, do you agree with this? 71% said yes, 29% said no. Do you agree with it, Keeks?
No, but it's cool that it is.
Yes, I'm the same way.
I mean, like, come on, like let's you know, we're just being honest. There are certainly better movies than Across the Spider-Verse, but for what it is, you know, 30 years ago, Toy Story comes out, it wins an honorary Academy Award for what it did with animation and visual, you know, and visuals, and this is the exact same thing. Like, animation is just never going to be the same now. Nothing is. How are we going to top this? Like, who is going to go in and make something more vivid and stylistic and amazing than Across the Spider-Verse?
Beyond the Spider-Verse, maybe.
Honestly, I here's the thing. I think without COVID, this movie probably comes out last year.
Yeah, I can see that because they started working on it 3-4 years ago, right?
Yeah. So my big guess is, if I have to guess, it's probably going to come out end of next year or March 2025.
Of Beyond, yeah, I have a hard time believing that Beyond the Spider-Verse is coming out in March. Mm-hmm. I would honestly rather prefer it, delay it 2 more months. Give me another summer drop. Let me kick off summer with another Spider-Verse movie. So I honestly like hope they push it back and button some things up if they need to by a few months. And I'm in for that. So
people are loving this movie. Yeah. I have not heard a single bad thing about it. The first film made $35 million its opening weekend. Not like great, to be honest. This one, $120 million opening weekend.
Okay, repeat that number again. How much did Into the Spider-Verse make?
$35
million. $35 million.
Yep.
Opening weekend. And this weekend, how much?
It ended with around $368 million, which like is good, but it's certainly not like Mario Brothers just ended its theatrical run, I think, at like $1.3 billion. And I don't know. Do you think Across the Spider-Verse crosses a billion? I don't think so. I think it gets to around $700 million. But what do you think?
I agree. I think Super Mario, I don't think it passes Super Mario this year.
No.
Even though it's a better movie than Super Mario, I think just because of the runtime, I don't think it's as kid-friendly.
It's pretty borderline, Mario. Though. I think if you have a five-year-old, that's about the cutoff.
Yeah. But Mario is definitely more, I don't know. I think it might be sixes. I think Spider-Man is just as known as Mario.
Definitely.
But
no,
like,
I would
like
say
Miles,
so.
like Miles Morales, some of the other spiders that are involved in this movie, they're like, who is this person? Opposed to like Mario, you're like, okay, I know who Mario and Peach and Luigi are.
True.
So anyways, yeah, I will say I agree 100% with what I think ZL Cooper said. Like, I can't believe it's better than Into the Spider-Verse. I watched Into the Spider-Verse after watching Across the Spider-Verse. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And I love Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I want to rant real quick because I think you and I are in the same boat here. And this is an opinion. And people have their opinions. Hashtag like what you like. I don't agree with the Dune, the Across the Spider-Verse. This movie is good, but it's not as good because the way it ended type of narrative. I really don't like that narrative because it's like, yeah, it needs to stop somewhere. It needs to finish for this movie because the next movie is coming out and it needs to start somewhere. So I loved the cliffhanger for Across the Spider-Verse. There were some people groaning in our theater. I think we mentioned that last time. I've seen some reviews about how some people are upset with the ending with Across the Spider-Verse. I'm like, there is another movie coming out. Like, it is okay. If they don't stick the landing for the ending of Across the Spider-Verse, and let's say Beyond the Spider-Verse isn't good, then it's like, okay, yeah, then you're warranted. But again, that's my opinion. I just don't think, and again, I like those two films a lot, but I just remember hearing a lot of flack for Dune and how it ended. And then Across the Spider-Verse, I've been hearing some complaints about how it ended. So that's my take. I disagree with it.
I can get the Dune one because literally there was no indication that there was going to be a part two. Like, there kind of was, but they hadn't even confirmed that they were going to get a part two until after it came out. Like, Denis Villeneuve was talking about, well, I hope, you know, we made the best one, and if they let us make more, then great. But this one, when they announced it last year, they announced it was going to be a two-part film. So I guess, yeah, if you're not like plugged into movie news like we are, you know, the 3% of people that reads every single piece of film news that comes across their desk, but it was pretty well known and they were not hiding it, unless especially when they announced Across the Spider-Verse that there's going to be a part two.
Yeah.
So when people are groaning, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, it sucks if you didn't know, but it's not like the information wasn't available to you. Yeah. Whereas Dune 2, I can kind of get, because the movie starts and it's like, Dune part one? Like, they didn't even put that anywhere. It's Dune part one. I could see why you'd groan. But even then, it's like, come on. You got to gauge it. Like, and I get it if you're like, the story doesn't feel complete. But not for me, it felt complete. I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I just don't think it's enough to dock it that much. I could see if you'd be like, it sucks that it's a part two, but we'll see. A lot of people are like, we'll come back to this when part two comes out. It's like, just gauge it for how much of a movie it is. If you don't think, if you think it's an A minus, you're like, but we'll see, it could go up more. Then it's like, no, just gauge it for what it is now. Just call it an A minus. That's fine.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my gripe. That's my disagreement. I know there's been like, I'll talk about some endings with TV shows that I love that maybe didn't stick the landing as well. And it's hard. It's hard to end something, but with a part two, with something that's going to come out, it's like the ending's not going to be as good as the final ending. So
yeah. If you're upset about a part two, go watch Fast X. You want to talk about an awful part two? Like, go that. I don't even, honestly, that didn't even take into account when I watched Fast X. That one is one you could complain about.
Yeah, but I was reading like a Letterboxd review about somebody that was complaining about endings of like part one, part twos type of things. And someone was like, yeah, like even with the Fellowship of the Ring, I didn't like that ending. I'm like, man, you got to be fun at parties.
Like, well, sorry to be that guy, but 60 years ago, the guy wrote three different books. So you're not very plugged in if you didn't realize there were two more coming.
Oh, anyways, that's my take there.
Okay. I can see that. Things that we watched this week. Did you watch anything that you really loved?
Yes. Ted Lasso. Kim is. We finished Ted Lasso. Three seasons. I don't think this is much of a spoiler, but it's done. Looks like it's done after three seasons, which I think is great because I think had they tried to stretch it out to another season, it would have just been, it just would have been really stretched thin. So. Yeah. From what it looks like, it's done, and it does have a good ending, good closure. So I love Ted Lasso. I will be talking more about Ted Lasso later in this take. But it's just a sweet fairy tale watch. And it is a feel-good. It's cheesy, but it makes you want to be a better person. It's the classic kind of kill them with kindness. Mm-hmm. And it's very sweet. So great characters in it. Some story beats kind of definitely waver off a little bit, but like right when that happens, they switch it up and go back to what is working. So I love Ted Lasso. I think it's a great watch. So that was that's what we watched this week.
Are we gonna get a little bit of a, is it possibly in your top 10?
Yes it is.
Okay,
no spoiler.
Okay. And then
I want to mention one other thing. Watched the Batman. I mean, not the Batman. Batman 1989. Batman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
So in prep for The Flash, and Michael Keaton was great in it, and Gotham looked awesome. Tim Burton. Jack Nicholson. I always get Jack Nicholas and Jack Nicholson confused, the last name, the golfer and the actor. Anyways, Batman was pretty cool. I actually liked it. I didn't have any expectations going in, but I think the Joker could have been a little bit more menacing in it, but I thought Nicholson did great with his laugh, and some scenes were a real hoot, especially the museum scene where he's coming in there. So, yeah, I mean, just some of the technology with Michael Keaton as Batman wasn't great, but the core of it was pretty cool.
I can't wait for you to watch Batman Returns. I think it's better. I prefer Batman Returns, so I'll be curious to see if you feel the same way.
I'm gonna try and get to that before The Flash. Got a little bit.
Yeah, it's not. I don't feel like it's maybe. I don't know, because like I watched them, and then I'm sure there's references to it in The Flash, but I didn't get all the references. So maybe you'll feel a little bit more up to date when we go see The Flash. I watched a couple things, but I think my favorite thing that I watched was I watched the first season of the 1997 animated Spawn series.
Oh,
premiered on HBO. So it was like an adult animated TV show. It's dark. It's grisly. It's got a lot of, it's got more mature themes because Spawn is more of a mature comic book. I actually have my Spawn Compendium 1 right here. Essentially, Todd McFarlane, who helped create and kind of popularize Venom, went on to start Spawn for a new comic company called Image Comics, which has done Invincible and The Walking Dead, to name a few things. And I have really dug it. I watched the first season. I think it's cool. Spawn is a really interesting character. He was a mercenary who's killed in action and comes back as a hell spawn. He's kind of a soldier of Satan, in some words to say. And, you know, he's been dead 5 years. So he comes back to this world and his wife is remarried. And it's kind of him trying to cope with what is my new life now and discovering these powers that he has. It's cool. Interesting. So it's like, if you have HBO Max, it's on there. I liked it. Each season is like 8 episodes and they're like 20 minutes each. So it's a quick buck and a half TV watch. You know what I mean?
Oh, love a good buck and a half TV watch. Those 20 minutes.
Yeah, so that's why I'd say right now it's probably an A minus, like really cool, awesome TV show.
Is Spawn? That's a movie. Who did that movie?
It is like also a movie,
90s movie. It's like really campy, isn't it? Like the effects are terrible. Just because
I have not ever seen it, and I don't actually know much about it. I know that it came out around the same time as the TV show, and I believe it was written by Todd McFarlane, but it stars Michael J. White, who's the guy that gets his head bumped into the pencil in The Dark Knight as the titular Spawn. So I'm sure I'll watch it. I've been kind of like getting into different comic books, and this is a cool one to start if you're, you know, into kind of darker things and, you know, getting into different kind of comic books.
Have you ever seen Dread?
Yes, it's awesome. Wait, have you not seen it?
I've never seen Dread. Is that
you'll freaking love it, man. Wait, have you seen The Raid?
No, I haven't seen The Raid.
Okay, watch The Raid, then watch Dread, and there's some similarities, but it's like all takes place in one high-rise apartment building, and they're trying to fight their way through the apartment building.
Because I like the actor that does Dread. What's his name? Carl Urban?
Carl Urban, yeah.
But, okay, what's it called? Raid?
The Raid, yep. I think it's called The Raid Redemption is the first one.
So I need to watch The Raid.
Indonesian martial arts film.
Okay, so I need to watch The Raid first before Dread?
I mean, they're just similar movies. You don't have to watch both of them, but like...
Oh, they're similar. Okay.
Yeah, you'll see some similarities, but like Dredd is awesome. I have not seen the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd film, but I love Dredd. I've seen that movie a few times. And if I am not mistaken, I believe Dredd is a buck and a half watch.
Sure is. 95 minutes, dude.
Did I just solidify that's what you're going to watch this year?
Oh,
this
yeah. Week? Okay, another one that I really want to watch that I think could maybe be in a 2023 top 10 fave, Blackberry. Still want to watch Blackberry.
Oh, yeah. It just like is available on streaming now.
Yep, you can rent it on Amazon.
Yeah.
So that's one I probably will be watching this summer.
I've heard it's great. I've heard it's really good. So I do want to watch that one as well.
Love it.
TC, let's answer some questions real quick.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Instagram mailbag. Let's start. Not as much from last time.
That's okay. You know, we do it every so often. It's a good way to, you know, just kind of interact with everyone. So let's do it.
Once a month. Can't believe the last one was a month ago. Okay, I'll start with where's Kayleen watching Lost for the first time? Let's freaking go. You guys are going to hear me talk a lot about Lost this take. And rewatching season 4 of Stranger Things. That's great.
Good season.
Season 4 Stranger Things is a blast. I love season 3. I think Stranger Things, you'll hear me talk about Stranger Things later too. But maybe it's not in my top 10. You'll see. But yeah, Lost. Oh,
I want to talk about this question. Got to talk about this next one.
Okay, this is
all
you.
Unless you have anything you else want to say about Lost. I think you kind of started about it.
Where's Kayleen? I have a blast with Lost. Just so good.
Okay, sweet. Benji Bjork. Finally watched Twin Peaks in time for the Fire Walk with Me return. I get the hype now. I DM'd Benji and I was like, I cannot wait for you to watch the rest of it. He's like, I hadn't heard about it until I heard you talk about the pod. And this is a little bit of an insight into a show that will also be talked about in my favorite TV shows of all time. It's not number one, but it's high and it could move up higher if I rewatch it more. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
So yeah, like we'll see. Why don't you grab the next one?
Okay, Emma Hall 16 says, Star Trek original series will always be 10 out of 10 best TV ever.
Never seen it.
I've never seen it, but I've always heard good things about Star Trek, the original series. So I'm not a Trekkie. I do like the movies, the ones with Chris Pine in them. I think those are really fun.
Yeah, are we like the most basic Star Trek people of all time? It's like, we like the Chris Pine ones when there's like Wrath of Khan and the other Star Trek movies that are supposed to be really good. Don't worry, we'll get to them. Patrick R. Linder says, my hot take, Jurassic Park is pretty bad, or at least overrated. My brother, it is not, but I appreciate your opinion. And I'm glad you have that opinion.
That is a very hot take.
That is a hot take.
I love hot takes, and that is something that I disagree with. But if you're feeling Jurassic Park fatigue, and then you're, you know, I can get that. But the first one's a classic. So, but hey, stick to those guns, man. Good for you.
You know what? I can appreciate it. Totally can. Brooks.Dahmer says, Batman Beyond, fantastic animated series, waiting for HBO to jump on that. Well, the rumor was the canceled Michael Keaton Batman solo film was going to be a Batman Beyond project. So sorry to be the bearer of bad news on that one, but that animated show is awesome. I remember watching that on Kids WB as it was airing and like really loving the animation. It kind of has like that cyberpunk Neo-Tokyo feel to it. Really awesome show.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard it's good things about that. I need to watch the original Batman animated series. That's like really high on IMDb.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It is very good.
Tantan Ralph, I think I pronounced that right. Said too many movies use the news to explain the plot. Nobody watches the news.
I read that and I actually thought that was so funny. It's like, you're right. I have not watched the news. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched the news.
My parents watch the news.
Yeah.
I don't watch the news. I mean, I try to get the news from like my phone. So let me be honest, I don't like watching the news. It stresses me out.
Especially local news is always just like boring. It's all, I don't know. It doesn't, maybe it's because we live in Utah and what the heck is going on in Utah.
Yeah. I don't mind the local news. Like sometimes I'll show up like after a game that I'm watching or something like that. And they'll be like, hey, this happened today. And so I'm like, oh, okay. I don't mind the local news, but like the national news, like that stuff, I'm like, whoa, this feels too bloated. Very one-sided.
Get rid of the 24-hour news cycle. Just dump it out. Let us get our local news. You can, I don't know, you can find other things anywhere else, but just, I kind of am with, like, local news I always kind of find kind of boring, but sometimes they do cute little local things, and it's fun. Yeah. Not to mention, we were the beneficiaries of the local news, so shouts out.
I was about to say, you were on the news.
I don't like the local news unless it's ABC4.
Yeah. Speaking of, we'll be talking a lot about some news with ATN. But before that, anything else?
Nope, let's do it.
Transformers?
I love it.
This is going to be short and sweet.
Possibly.
I think everybody that's listening to it, I think maybe two other people have watched this movie when this episode drops. So Keeks and I, the only time that we could see Transformers was Thursday night. So we went to like the premiere, got a picture with Bumblebee. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there was maybe 10 other people in the theater, and it was the biggest theater at Thanksgiving Point.
Yeah.
The Platinum X, which is there in Lehigh. We thought it was like their version of IMAX. It's not. It's just like remodeled. Like the floors are LVP. It's really nice. It's just like the screen, the bigger stadium. It's got like purple neon. Pretty cool. But yeah, that's something that Thanksgiving Point, it's more expensive, which is a bummer because it's like the same auditorium as other ones. It's just bigger. So anyways, we saw Transformers Rise of the Beast. This is directed by Steve Caple Jr. And during the 90s, a new faction of Transformers, the Maximals, joined the Autobots as allies in the battle for Earth. We got Anthony Ramos, Dominique Fishback, starring in this. And then, you know, you got a mixed bag of some voices here. Pete Davidson is a voice in here. You have Michelle Yeoh.
Ron Perlman.
Who's Ron Perlman?
Ron Perlman is Optimus Primal.
Oh.
And Peter Dinklage is the voice of Scourge.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, Keeks, what'd you think about Transformers Rise of the Beasts?
I mean, it kind of starts off a little bit fun, and then the break in Act 2 feels like really abrupt. Like a lot of the stuff that kind of gets the movie going feels really like, oh my gosh, she's doing this now. It feels really random. And then they travel. It's kind of like a jet set setting start. You know, you feel like, oh, we're going to Peru now. And then you just never leave Peru. And I thought maybe they'd go somewhere else, but they go from New York to Peru. And I don't know. I thought some of the editing was a little clunky in some moments, but I think what it really nails is Anthony Ramos as the lead. I think he's a good lead. And Dominique Fishback is fine, but I just don't think they gave her a lot to work with. Like, her character's really shallow. There's not
kind of bland.
There's not too much to her. Mm. And then there are too many Autobots. And apparently this is a sequel to that Bumblebee prequel or whatever, which, like, I didn't know. I was not aware, and I have not seen Bumblebee. So they're like, we've been here for 7 years. And I'm like, that's such a random time to have been here. Why is that?
Yeah.
And apparently that's because of the last one. I don't know.
Yeah, I knew what kind of this movie was going to go being in. I wish it had a little bit like more style and flair. I thought the soundtrack was I thought the soundtrack was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the first two acts are little. It takes a while, but I thought the third act was fun. There were some sequences.
Yeah,
in the
third act is awesome.
I was like, okay, here we are. Like, this is cool. Like, robots are fighting. They're basically on Mordor, is what it felt like. It was just this desolate land, lava spewing over. I thought the story was pretty simple to follow, where like the big baddie needs a key. They banish the key to Earth. So it's pretty easy to follow, but I agree. I think Anthony Ramos is a likable character. I like the relationship he had with his younger brother who's sick. I do agree with Chris Duckman's review. It would have been nice to have like the little brother kind of tag along in the journey with some extra weight to be had of like protecting him. Pete Davidson is very annoying voicing Mirage.
Bad.
Ooh, brutal, brutal, brutal. Not in like jokes didn't land. It wasn't very funny either. Like
no.
There was maybe two jokes where I was like, okay, that was actually genuinely funny. And then all the other ones like misfired for me. But overall, the third act really saved this movie for me. I thought the third act was a lot of fun. I would say right now it'd probably be Transformers, the first one, then Bumblebee, then Dark Side of the Moon, then probably this, and then Revenge of the Fallen, The Last Knight, and Age of Extinction.
Man, you know these movies fell off a cliff when Revenge of the Fallen is not the worst one.
Yeah.
I'm also, my biggest kind of question that came out of this movie cost about $200 million to make.
Dude.
And those Michael Bay films made billions of dollars. So, like, what happened? Like, why is no one... Because not a lot of people saw that Bumblebee movie. Not a lot of people are going to go see this movie. I would imagine Spider-Verse beats this movie and will remain number one for the second week in a row. Like, what happened? Why do you think this is not... Like, Transformers is not connecting with general audiences anymore? Is it Michael Bay? Is it something else?
I think it's because, like, Age of Extinction, Last Knight were so bad, and they were so long. But I will say, I think Bumblebee is actually a cute, charming watch. Like, anybody that watches Bumblebee, like, I enjoyed Bumblebee. I thought it was, like, pretty grounded. And I actually, like, left that movie. I was like, this is like a B, get it? B. It was a B suite. Like, I thought it was, like, kind of a charming, like, I actually want to rewatch it now after rewatching Rise of the Beasts. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Rise of the Beasts just didn't intrigue people. It just didn't have, like, maybe the marketing. I don't know. I remember watching the trailer. I was like, this looks fun, but yeah.
I think a big thing that harms these movies is those transformations in, like, the first two or three films are, like, breathtaking pieces of visual effects. And now it's just kind of gotten to, beep, 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 and it's transformed. You know, there's like six different movements they do and they've transformed. When, like, in that first one with Optimus Prime transforms, I feel like there's 4,000 different things that are folding up into each other to create Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
And this movie looks kind of muddy. Like, it doesn't look great. And I think you're right, as I think those last two Transformers movies, it's funny you say that The Last Knight is like, feels like the longest one, because it is actually the shortest of all of the Transformers movies. Yeah, it's the shortest one.
It's 2 hours and 34. Age of Extinction is 2 hours and 45. Ooh, that was...
Oh, brutal. So, or if it's not the shortest one, it was definitely shorter than Age of Extinction. And this is a good... I think, though, like, this is a good $5 Tuesday.
Yep.
But honestly, like, you could probably watch it on your TV and it would be just fine. Unfortunately,
yeah.
It doesn't... And it takes place in the 90s, but it doesn't really warrant the fact that it takes place in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like you said, I think with the Transformers too, we were teenagers when those came out.
Yeah.
Like, totally. We had like the teenager filter on our eyes where it's like, this is so cool. And like, yeah. Now being adults, we're like, oh, like, it was cool, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not running to rewatch Transformers, you know?
And, I don't know. I kind of want to rewatch the first one after this because I think Shia LaBeouf and honestly, like Megan Fox, like for a lot of the dudes being like, oh, Megan Fox is in it.
Yeah.
Being a bit of like a kind of a cheap, dumb reason for us to want to watch those movies too.
Yeah.
Very for sure. Exploitative, like, I guess, poor. Yeah. Well, the way that Megan Fox was treated on those sets was like, awful. Very misogynistic, but got butts and sense.
But with the thing with Shia LaBeouf, it's like we grew up watching him on Even Stevens. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, oh, he's in Transformers.
Yeah.
So I remember going to like watch Transformers and being like, Shia LaBeouf is funny. Like, I remember him from Even Stevens. And
yeah, I think that was a big reason.
He was a likable character because he was just so like, he was trying to impress Megan Fox. He was trying to get along with his new car, Bumblebee. And so like, mm-hmm. it had like a lot of funny strifes and whatnot, challenges going on. So Rise of the Beast, yeah, it's fine. But I will say like Bumblebee is not a bad watch from what I remember.
Mm-hmm. I would give this one, at this point, I'd give this one a C+ suite. Transformers Rise of the Beast, C+ suite. I don't know, probably just wait for it to come out on streaming. But, you know, the third act was enough that I'm like, if you were really wanting to see it, the third act is worth seeing on the big screen.
Yeah, C+ suite from me too. And it's got a fun reveal at the end. I mean, we can do a little spoiler stamp. I don't think people are going to care, but let's do it. Yeah, 3, 2, 1, sweet. You got it.
They're teasing a G.I. Joe universe as well. Anthony Ramos, I love how they set up the big boss guy of like, oh, who's playing the big boss in this end credit scene? And it's just some dude. Like, it was really weird how they hit him.
Yeah,
I don't know,
I was like, who is that going to be? Like Tom Cruise or Robert Downey Jr.? Who is that going to be? And it's just like, oh, it's the guy from House of Cards.
I didn't even know who he was. So the fact that you kind of knew who he was. And it's not Kevin Spacey, as a side note, of the guy from House of Cards.
Yes, no, it's not him.
But he hands him this card, and he's like, we'd love to have you. And he turns it over, and it says G.I. Joe on it. And honestly, after that happened, I was like, oh, heck yeah, I'm in. I'm in. Let's get some more of this slop here.
I mean, I think G.I. Joe and Transformers could be a blast. But anyways, his name's Michael Kelly. That's the actor's name.
Okay, cool. I'm glad you looked that up.
So there you have it.
There you go. There's our 10-second spoiler thing. Maybe go watch it.
Yeah.
No rush to. On the other hand, here's something you all should watch. This is Succession. Okay. Succession, the longstanding critically acclaimed TV show on HBO. I got to find who's made it, but it's got quite a few people who have made it. But Jesse Armstrong is the big.
Jesse Armstrong, Mark Mylod was a prominent director. He directed 16 episodes of it.
He also directed the Menu.
Yeah, yeah.
Adam McKay and Will Ferrell are producers as well.
He's a good director.
And it tells the story of a massive media conglomerate run by a family, especially the patriarch, Logan Roy, the Roy family, Royco, Waystar. And it's them trying to figure out who is going to take over as CEO. The father is old and it's getting time for him to step down. And there's three kids, Kendall, Shiv, and Roman. And they're kind of trying to outdo each other and make it to that top spot of CEO. And other characters are in there too. Shiv's husband, Tom Wamsgams, all-time TV name. Cousin Greg, you've got Carl, you've got freaking Frank coming in there, you got Jerry, you've got all these board members who are in there, and you kind of never really know where it's going to go. There's some other companies that they try to buy along the way, but TC, what do we think of Succession? 4 seasons. How did it end?
So Kennedy and I started watching Succession about a month and a half ago, I think. Mm-hmm. So we were able to watch it and get caught up like right for like the last 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Succession, man, it is so good. It is very dialogue heavy. Mm-hmm. It is very much like suspense is built through people's decisions. The set pieces of being able just to be a fly on the wall of really, really elite, rich people. Like, oh my gosh. So you're able to see, like, you know, these people live just luxurious lives and how they are just rude to each other. I talked about Ted Lasso being a feel-good, killing with kindness. Succession is the complete opposite. They are rude to each other. They say absolute distasteful things to each other. But
all,
man,
the time.
All the time. But, I mean, it is so good. There are so many moments where you're, like, on the edge of your seat being like, how is this going to shake up? Like, what is going to happen? The characters are great, and they're also not great because they are horrible, horrible people. One of the things that it says on IMDb is this. It says, the Roy family controls the biggest media and entertainment company in the world. As they fight for control of the company and each other, their lack of morals is exposed at every turn. This family has no redeeming character values, and neither does any person attached to them. Watch them as they fight for the front seat on the bus to hell. And that is really what Succession is. It's a lot of backstabbing, it's a lot of betrayals, it's a lot of teaming up, but like a lot of just like, no, we're not really teaming up. So if you're a media conglomerate and you love like that side of news, I mean, obviously Succession takes a lot of influence from the Murdoch family that runs Fox News. There's like a side by side of like, this is this person, like this is Kendall and this is Kendall for the Murdoch family. And you know what I mean? It has a little bit of influence from Sumner Redstone as well, for him being kind of like an abusive father. I don't know if a lot of people that did watch Succession, you guys should check out the podcast that is produced by HBO Succession. They get on the stars, the writers, and it gives a lot more in depth to each episode. It's great. So I've been listening to that. I have like two more episodes to finish it up. So Succession's great, man. It's a great watch. I would give it an A+ suite. I think it is a must-watch TV. I will say, I think you and I talked about this. I don't think it's for everybody.
Yeah. It's more of like an A sour to me.
Yeah. I would still say it's sweet because the acting is so good and so is the writing. And I remember watching the end, the final episode, being like livid to how it shaked up. And then like I sat on, I was like, that makes sense, though. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes, like, yeah.
it's kind of funny. You know, like, the very first episode is, it's their, what is it? It's their dad's, it's a family reunion.
He is, like, getting the family together, and he's talking about how he's going to delegate to who's going to be the
successor. But even before that, they do, like, their yearly, like, Roy family baseball game.
Yes. Yeah.
And they get one of the kids of the help, and Roman says, I will give you $1 million if you hit a home run. And the kid gets like right to home, and Roman goes and tags him out. And he's like, oh, sorry, and rips the check up in front of him. Like, that is the perfect showing of how awful this family is. But then you're kind of throughout figuring out, okay, who would I like? And for me, it feels like, you know, Love Island. I love Love Island. Is every day your new favorite changes. And that's exactly with Succession, is you have a new character that you want to take over after like every episode.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Cause I remember I was like, I'm team Kendall. And then I was like, Kendall sucks. And I was like,
yeah,
okay,
Kendall is incompetent.
Yes. And then I was like, maybe I think Roman's my favorite. Cause he's just so funny and he's so unhinged. And then I was like, man, I really like Tom. And it's just so funny to see which characters you are rooting for. I mean, man, Brian Cox as Logan Roy is menacing, dude. He is so manipulative. I mean, I think he just kills it as being just a
And he's always been the right choice for the company.
Yeah. I mean, and the casting of Brian Cox for Logan Roy is so good. I think all the board members are great. So the end of season one was probably my favorite, like, jaw-dropping moment. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Season two was really good. The end of season two was awesome as well. I love the end of season two and how that shook up. I'd say the weakest season for me personally was probably season three in its totality.
Yeah, I agree.
And then season four definitely takes off, and I think it ends. It really does end well.
I think four is maybe even my favorite season.
Yeah.
It might be. Like, as much as I do love, like, I certainly think it might be like 2, 4, 1, 3 for me. Because I like two a lot.
Yeah. I need to... Let me look at the episodes. I mean, the seasons again. I'd probably say season... I don't know, man. I really liked season... Yeah, probably season 1, 4, then 2 and 3.
Okay.
Is probably how I would go.
The biggest thing about it is there's not... Like you said, I mean, 3 is kind of the weakest, but there's not a weak season of the bunch. It's four seasons of perfect top quality TV. And for me, I probably have it more of an A sour just because certain aspects of it are pretty like crude and hard to watch sometimes, but it's still an A plus. Like, this is absolute prestige TV. And now we're going to talk about the endings. We're going to get into spoilers a little bit, which is, you know, if you want to know how it ends and you want to kind of get a vibe for it, or if you just want to hear us talk about how we think about the ending, in 3, 2, 1, sweet. The ending. I honestly was kind of, I was rooting, I'm going to get to you after. I thought Roman should have been CEO. Who do you think should have been CEO?
You thought Roman or Kendall? Roman.
Roman. Roman.
You thought Roman should have been it.
Yep. I think Roman was the closest to his dad. Like the closest, like the most similar. Of like, Roman would be the one to make the decisions that needed to be made than Kendall or Shiv.
I mean, it's true because like on that, I thought that was one of the better episodes in season four was election night with Macon. Mm-hmm. And how Roman's like, we're calling it. Like, no, this is my call. Like, screw it. Like, it's on me. Yep. I do agree with you. I think Roman was probably the most like Logan. I even think Logan saw that in Roman too. It was just like, I see flashes of myself in you.
Yeah.
I was team Kendall because I loved when Kendall would go behind his dad and do certain things to get him. And he had him on the ropes the first season when he doesn't show up to the board meeting for the votes. If he was there, he would have won, but he got caught in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, man, that was gripping. And then, and he does the bear hug at the end of season one and gets Stewie and I think that's Stuart, right? His buddy Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
On his team to do like the finance and give him the bear hug. Had an opportunity to get Logan out, and then he does something really stupid at the end of season one and kills has that car accident
with the waiter.
Waiter. Oh my gosh. So I really kind of was like, let's have Kendall be it. But when it ended and Shiv did not vote for him. And that whole scene where they're in the room and he's freaking out and Shiv's just like, I cannot stand you. Like, I just can't. Like, you would not be good at this. So I don't think any of them should have been it. Like, after like watching it, like, and seeing it marinate, I'm like, no, none of them should have been it. Like,
I think the biggest aspect of the show is this sense of like family and genealogy and like traits being passed down, because all of his kids, all of Logan's kids have qualities that he has, but they are not Logan Roy. None of them are fit to run that company.
Yeah. I will say, like, I did like Kendall when he laid off, what were the workers? Golly. In season two, when he was just like his dad's puppet. You remember that? When he like came in there, he's like, we love you guys. Like, we want you to stay. And then he's like, all right, effective immediately, you guys are leaving, get out of here. That one company that was kind of like a progressive company.
Oh,
that was like,
yeah.
Lawrence. It was Lawrence's company.
Well, what I think more of is like in this most recent season of like of Roman like going through and just firing everyone, you know, kind of like going through and even like getting Jerry's like, oh, Jerry, leave, you're done. Like, I do think that kind of wild card aspect is more Logan. But then you had Shiv, where, you know, you said that like that Kendall was doing things behind their back. I just don't think Logan is like that. I think Logan was much more like, nope, sorry, like, this is how it is.
Yeah, no, he was very much like, he was brute about it. Shiv was the smartest one out of the three, out of the four, including Connor. But
she was also the sloppiest, though, it felt.
Yeah.
Like she just didn't, like, when she was getting forced out of the Gojo contract, she's like, what? No, everything's been good. It's like, are you kidding? Like, you really think, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
clearly she was not going to be.
Dude, Sarah Snook, like, her facial expressions for acting was like so good.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. Like when she was like tense. One of my favorite scenes was when her and Tom had that argument on the balcony in season four. I was like, thank you. Like, let's blow up. Like, we've been needing this, like, from both sides.
Yeah.
So, but one of the thing I wanted to say is when Kendall tries to recruit Tom in season three to get on his team, Tom just turns around and looks at him. He's like, every time you've tried to go after your dad, you lose.
He's like, Logan always wins. That's something that I've noticed. And lo and behold, dude, Tom played his card so right. He had to betray his own wife, and he stuck with Logan. I mean, we see that reveal at the end of season three that he was the one to slip and notify Logan that the kids were on their way to orchestrate a deal. I forgot what they were trying to do. They were trying to do something with making it so like Logan wouldn't sell or keep. They were going to go vote or something like that. And then like in that time frame, Logan called his ex-wife, the kid's mom, and made some deal happen, some writing. There's so many things that I'm like, wait, what? That went over my head. I don't understand like business talk.
Yeah, it's very jargon heavy and very buzzword, like business buzzwords heavy, the show.
But I thought it was a good ending. I mean, I remember when Roman was telling Kendall, like, hey, we're bull crap. Like, we're bull crap. Like, I think Roman was just like, realized like, yeah, we're pieces of crap. Like, we don't just get us paid and like, let's leave. Like, let's have a fresh start and do our own thing. So I did one of my favorite aspects. Last thing is I love the beginning of season four when they're all working as a team, Shiv, Kendall, and Roman. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really fun. And I was really excited about what was going to happen. I thought that was going to happen for season four, that they're going to work together. And it only lasts for like three episodes.
They couldn't help it. They couldn't help but try to like think of themselves. And when honestly, like, had all three of them been on the board and worked together, and they could have like had one of them be the leader and shown they could do it, but they couldn't do it.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
They had to try and be like their dad, who, you know, in episode four dies. Logan Roy dies. So the rest of the show is them trying to figure it out.
And another scene that I really liked was when they're at the mountaintop on that retreat with Mattson, like two days after Logan dies, and Roman tells Mattson that he hates him, that he sucks, and that he's like, you made my dad die. Like, I love when Roman's like, we're not going to do the deal. So that was when Roman and Kendall were like on the same page and they were like going at it together and like on the same team. Like, that was like peak Succession for me, because I love like kind of Kendall's analytics. I thought he was smart sometimes, and I love Roman's just like brashness of being able to say what he wanted to say. So,
and speaking of teaming up, real quickly, I want to talk about who at least one of them is my favorite character, and that's the Disgusting Brothers. That is Tom Wamsgans, and that is Cousin Greg. Cousin Greg was always my favorite character. I love Cousin Greg. I love how much of a bumbling idiot he was, but he was still competent. Like, he got to where he was, he learned, and he stuck by who he thought was going to be his best ticket in, which was Tom, and he ended up being right too.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I love when at the end he's like, "So Tom, like, who's sticking around?" At the very end, he's like, "This person's sticking around. Carl's going to be out. Carolina." And he's like, oh, okay. And like, he's like, and you too, Greg. Not word for word like that, but I was like, yes, like, thank you.
He's like, you blew it, Greg. You blew it. But I got you.
Yeah.
And then he puts the little black mark. And I love one of probably my favorite line of all, most of my favorite lines come from Tom or from Greg, but Tom is on the phone, is at the wedding, and Greg's on the phone with him. He's like, I got to go get some more Greglets from the pig pen. And Greg's I'm not a pig. I'm a human being.
Oh, man.
Like a human person. And that was so funny. They're just great. Funny.
Tom and Greg were the best duo for sure. Did you watch that video I sent you of the Taylor Swift?
I had seen it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I love it.
So good. So yeah, I mean, all of you, like, check out Succession, watch it. It is worth the buzz. It is a great TV show. But is it one of our favorite TV shows of all time? Before we get into that, did we have many people? It seems like not a lot of the suites have seen Succession, but let's see if there are any in particular that had mentioned their thoughts about Succession, which it looked like, nope, not really. Which I can kind of understand, or maybe people just didn't have their thoughts.
I do agree with you, though. It is pretty sour. It's sweet and sour for me. Like, it's definitely pretty jarring with the language and some of the harshness that is used in Succession.
Overwhelmingly, though, like, and specifically, like, rating it between sweet, sour, spoiled, they all had it at sweet. So I do think it's, like, a little bit tough sometimes to watch language-wise, but it's maybe a little bit more towards the sweet than the sour, but I'm going to stick with sour.
Alrighty, is it time?
It is our 10 favorite TV shows. Now, we are going to have some honorable mentions. So I'm just going to go through mine. We always start 10 to 1. You got to leave number one for the last. It's the most important. So my honorable mention, starting with 16 to 11, so I have six honorable mentions, is Static Shock, Teen Titans, Family Guy, Parks and Rec, Breaking Bad, and The Chappelle Show.
Wow. I love it. Okay, yep. I have a lot of honorable mentions. I don't care. I'm just gonna go down.
Go for it. List them off.
Severance, Death Note, Succession, Band of Brothers, Only Murders in the Building, The Last Kingdom, Spectacular Spider-Man.
Good one.
This one was really tough. I think this might be like 11 or 12. True Detective, specifically season one.
See, that's why I couldn't put it on there, because season one's the only good, really amazing season.
Yeah. Avatar, The Last Airbender, Seinfeld, SpongeBob, Dragon Ball Z, The Good Place, Bob's Burgers, Narcos, Stranger Things, Dark, The Last of Us, Parks and Rec, and finally Psych.
What is in your top 10? I got to know what your top 10 is now, because I'm very curious, because a lot of those that you mentioned, great shows.
Yeah, and some of those honorable mentions I mentioned are still going, like Omit B, Only Murder in the Building is still going. True Detective is still going, technically. Bob's Burgers is still going, and Stranger Things. So the last ones.
Okay, let's do it. 10 through 6. I'll give a brief description of each of these and why I think it's in there. Chernobyl at number 10. Woo. Greatest miniseries I've ever seen. Craig Mazin did a great job. Mindhunter, an absolute travesty that this show will not go on. If it keeps going on, it has could be one of the greatest ever made. David Fincher, amazing show. Number 8, Nathan For You. Probably the funniest show I've ever seen. Based on premise and everything, great show. Number 7 is Dark. One of the tightest written, best, like, most interesting, intricate stories I've ever seen that weirdly make sense. Dark is incredible. And then number 6 is Death Note. One of the greatest animes made of all time. The first two seasons are legitimately perfect storytelling. That last season, those last few episodes, kind of a little bit make it go off the rails, but it's still fun in its own right.
Oh, Death Note is great. That's a good 10 through 6, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Dark was just right outside my top 10.
I'm glad it was there, though, because you had just recently watched that.
Yeah, that was this year. Loved it. Okay, to my number 10. Starting at shooting guard, number 23. The Last Dance.
Oh my gosh. I saw that on the IMDb list, and I'm like, I wonder if TC is going to put it on there. Okay.
Number 10, The Last Dance. So good. Number 9, one of the hardest binges I've ever had in my life. It's Attack on Titan. Love it. So good. Number 8, this is one of the most grittiest shows I've ever seen, but potentially the best lead I've ever seen. Sopranos.
I knew it. Yep.
Coming in at number 8. Number 7, just wrapped it up. This is corny. It's cheesy. I love it. It makes me feel good. It's my comfort watch. One of the funniest comedies I've seen as of late. Ted Lasso. In at number 7.
Dang.
And number 6, this is your 10, is Chernobyl.
Wow.
Chernobyl, I've watched it twice. Every time I watch it, I'm always floored. The company podcast with it is great insight into it. I mean, Chernobyl is just, it is that good.
Okay, so we're on our 5. We're on 5. This is a show I've not talked a lot about, but I love this show. It combines kind of everything that I like, some nerdy stuff, some science fiction, some weird, and that is The X-Files.
I need to watch X-Files. I think I know I will like it.
I think you'd the pilot is actually probably the best pilot of TV I've ever watched. Maybe behind The Sopranos.
I didn't know you were an X-Files guy.
I love The X-Files. It's a lot of TV to watch, but the movies are kind of fun. I didn't really watch how they rebooted it. I didn't really watch that one, but I watched all the others, and I just had so much fun watching The X-Files. They have their Monster of the Week episodes that are kind of offshoots, you know, kind of like filler episodes, but they're not filler because they still have like the same kind of theme going, and X-Files is a lot of fun.
Are we going to go switch now?
Yeah, we'll switch.
Okay. My number five, one of the other hardest binges I've ever had, and I love it. I still do. Game of Thrones. It's that fantasy world. I think it just immerses you so well. It's basically, it's Succession, but with the dragons.
Yeah, it is. It really
the backstabbing. Yeah. I mean, besides, you know, those last like 3 to 4 episodes of last season, it's a bit of a downer. But man, everything up until that, A plus. And I just will excuse a little bit of the ending. I really will. So what?
To be honest, like, and we've talked about this, I'm just not a big fantasy guy. So yeah. For me, yeah, Game of Thrones is great. Does not stick the landing like Succession sticks the landing.
Sure. Yeah. Succession. I agree.
Number four is one of the hardest binges I've done. It's got such an interesting lore. Me and Becky watched it. It is now kind of one of my new personality traits. And I think with more watches, it will go higher on my list. And that is Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks truly is like one of the most unique TV watches. I've got a lot of like 90s shows on this. Not a lot, but like Static Shock I watched. Family Guy started in the 90s. X-Files, Twin Peaks, the kind of like that sci-fi,
yeah,
kind of fantasy aspect. Twin Peaks is certainly worth your time if you want.
Dude, to. Dude, I thought this was going to be number one, but X-Files.
I had it there, and then I had to move it because I'm like, I think my number one has to be something that like truly, like it needs that spot. So
yeah,
I'm curious. Okay. You might know it, but maybe not.
I'm interested. Okay, my number four is it's one of my personality traits. I think maybe it's not, but it's Naruto.
Oh, awesome!
Top to bottom, I love Naruto. Reading the manga, my brothers got me into it in like junior high. Watched it all throughout high school. Finished the series in college, and it's a blast. It was like one of the first times I ever cried while watching a TV show when a certain character dies. It's so sad. But yeah, Naruto's so cool, and it was great getting my friends into it too. All-time
shouts
watch.
Shouts out Todd.
Todd and Taff, shout out.
Happy birthday, Todd, BDH.
And the soundtrack to Naruto is so good, too. Like, I still will watch clips occasionally on YouTube of, like, the fights, and the speeches are great. The characters are awesome, and all the storylines. Besides the filler. The filler aren't great, but the canon slaps.
Okay.
Some filler can be fun.
My number three. I rewatch this show probably once or twice a year. I'm on my most recent rewatch of it, and that is New Girl.
Mm.
I love New Girl. It is the ultimate comfort watch. I will say those last like season and a half is a little bit eh, but like I would even say like season 1 through 6 are, or 1 through 5 even, are absolutely, I just die laughing watching it. I love New Girl.
Wow.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah.
My number three and two were pretty hard to put in, but I had to stick with my guns. My number three is The Office. It is one of the most rewatchable shows. I always rewatch it. Michael Scott is so funny. I love it. Seasons 1 through 7 in particular, even like 8 and 9 have gotten better, I think, with time for me. So yeah, love The Office. It is so good. The characters are funny. And every time I rewatch it, I'm like, did they add a scene here? Like, I don't remember this. So The Office, it's really good, man.
Especially on Peacock, watching those super fan episodes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. It adds so much more to them.
Yep. So.
Okay. So that brings me to my number two, which you've talked a little bit about right now, but is infinitely requotable, rewatchable. The ultimate sit down and watch, put it in the background and watch, and it's The Office. Yeah, Michael Scott, the funniest character ever written for TV. So good.
I totally agree with that statement. You can put it on the background, or you can like actually sit down and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, oh man, the situational humor is so good. Okay, number two. I'm putting them together. I'm doing it. It's Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Ah,
my number two. I might be cheating. I'm putting them together. If I would, honestly, it would probably be 1A Breaking Bad and 1B Better Call Saul.
I'm not going to lie. I almost think that this year I had so many students that were obsessed with Breaking Bad, and it just kind of took it out for me. I don't know what it was. And to be honest, I never really like loved Breaking Bad. I enjoyed it, but it's not something that I'm like, wow, Breaking Bad. It's more of like it's good. It's as good as advertised.
Yeah, no, I think Breaking Bad is phenomenal, and Better Call Saul even adds more to it, especially for Saul Goodman potentially being my favorite fictional character ever. I think he's so funny. Bob Odenkirk kills it. You've heard me talk about it on the pod before. I love his character so much because he is so slimy, but he's also like has a good heart at the same time. He really has a lot of conflict issues. So it's top tier writing. And each of these endings for Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul are great. So.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, that's great. My number one is a show that's not even done yet, but I have loved watching this show. Recommending it. Every person I've ever recommended it to loves the show. I've got shoes about it. I've got shirts about it. I gush about it all the time. For me, it's my favorite TV show. And I think honestly, if this was airing on HBO or one of those premium channels and getting advertised like Succession or Game of Thrones, it has the potential to be the biggest show, which it might even be the biggest show in the world, and that is Attack on Titan. Everything about it is intriguing. There's twists and turns, there's great lore, there's great characters, there's great animation, set pieces. It's everything that you want from a show is Attack on Titan.
Man, hyped for it to end.
So that's it. That's my
Okay,
number one.
I love that number one. That's
Yeah.
great.
What is yours?
My number one is Lost.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It's
That's actually so
Lost.
funny that as you were talking about it, I was like brain farted and couldn't think of what it would be.
Yeah, I mean, watching this in high school, I remember just like getting chills, and the characters are so good in it. It's kind of like a Succession thing where you're like, who do I root for here? It kind of flip-flops.
Yeah.
The mystery, the suspense, the conflict that happens on the seasons that arise. I mean, it is so good. I think the story for Lost is amazing. And then when I watched it and saw it end, when I first watched it initially and the ending happened, I was like, I don't know if I agree with it. Then watching it just a couple of years ago from start to finish, I love the ending now. I love how everything wraps up. And hearing the creators talk about this show being like, it is a character-driven show. Like, you don't get all the answers to like the things on the island, but you get answers to the characters. I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. And
Yeah.
it was so interesting because they were talking about how Lost was doing so good that the executives at ABC are like, you know how hard it is to make a show that people watch? Like, you can't end it now. And they had to like stretch it out. And I thought they did a good job of it. And that just speaks volumes to Lost. Everybody that watches Lost, I think likes it. And I think it just has everything for everybody. So Lost, it's my number one, man. It's my number
Where's
one.
Kayleen? There you go. You're watching TC's favorite show of all time.
Yeah, it's good.
So to give a nice countdown, 10 through 1 is Chernobyl at 10, Mindhunter, Nathan For You, Dark, Death Note, X-Files, Twin Peaks, New Girl, The Office, and Attack on Titan for me.
Perfect. Number 10 is The Last Dance, 9 Attack on Titan, 8 Sopranos, 7 Ted Lasso, 6 Chernobyl, 5 Game of Thrones, 4 Naruto. Number 3 is The Office. Number 2 is Breaking Bad slash Better Call Saul. And number 1 is Lost.
I love it.
Let's go. Yeah,
Great list. We've never done this before, but these are our 10 favorite shows of all time. I spent a lot of time on the list, so I really want to make sure that I nail it. And honestly, when you said Avatar: The Last Airbender, I was like, "Dang it. That probably could have fit somewhere, but even then, I think that would be an honorable mention."
yeah.
My top 10 truly are like these are the
The
greats
bangers.
for me.
No, I do want to watch Twin Peaks, and I do want to watch X Files because I know I will like those. If I like Lost, because Twin Peaks is kind of a sci-fi, same with X Files, of course.
Twin Peaks is weird. It's more of like a fantasy. I wouldn't really call it sci-fi. It feels a little bit more fantasy, but it's kind of
Gotcha.
like a, it's not like a high fantasy, obviously. It's like a,
Gotcha.
I don't know, surrealist fantasy show.
Okay. I like that stuff.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. Which means I want to watch Lost, but at the same time, it feels so long
It's a
that,
commitment. It really is.
yeah.
Like, I understand people are like, oh, it's like 121 episodes. It's like, it is. I'm not gonna lie to you. But if you watch the first season, if you can get through the first season, you'll wanna watch the next season.
Okay.
Especially because it has an amazing cliffhanger for season one.
Really?
Yeah.
I think we got like kind of close to finishing it. I don't know. I would imagine like we will get to it sometime. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's a good watch. It really is.
Okay.
it has a little nostalgic factor to me, for me too. So I recognize that. That always helps.
You need nostalgia. It's got to be something that's kind of banked into your favorites. It's baked into all of our favorite things.
Yep.
Is there something that, and that's like what the point of film and like film and visuals, you know, as a medium are supposed to do. It's supposed to emote and get you to feel something. That's why we latch onto it. And that's kind of that's nostalgia is a byproduct of feeling. So I don't ever hate anyone when they're like, nostalgia, don't hate it. So that is our great take. Loved this take. I was stoked. Take 238. Next take, we're having the Fun Movie Club on. We are talking Wes Anderson, and we'll also be talking about Ran and Adaptation. So an Akira Kurosawa film and also a Charlie Kaufman written film and adaptation with Nick Cage. The Fun Movie Club will be kind of going in to get ready for our Asteroid City, and then following that, following next week, we'll do Asteroid City and The Flash. So keep those up to date. Go watch those films. TC, anything else for us before we head out?
That's it. Great take. Great take today.
And stay so sweet.
Sweet.